This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How emotions influence response to anchors. Why are feelings in a negotiation shape what you accept as fair? In short, emotional state does not just colour a negotiation. It determines how much power an anchor has over you. A calm negotiator evaluates an opening offer. A reactive one is pulled toward it. Positive emotions like excitement are just as dangerous as anxiety when an anchor lands. The surest way to resist an anchor is to prepare your emotional ground before you enter the room. Definition: emotions influence anchors by shaping how critically you evaluate the first number or condition introduced in a negotiation. When your emotional state is unsettled, reactive, or flooded, your mind loses the distance needed to assess that opening figure objectively, making the anchor far more powerful than it deserves to be. The first number placed on a table in a negotiation does something most people do not fully appreciate. It does not just start the conversation. It bends everything that follows toward itself. Every counteroffer, every concession, every moment of let me think about that happens in the gravitational field of that opening anchor. Most people understand this much. What they really understand is that the strength of that gravitational pull is not fixed. It depends almost entirely on the emotional state of the person receiving the anchor. I have watched this pattern repeat for decades across every kind of negotiation. The person who walks in rattled, excited, or anxious responds to an anchor very differently than the person who walks in grounded and clear. Same anchor, same room, completely different outcomes. The difference is not intelligence or experience. It is the emotional ground the person stands on when that first number lands. What actually happens when an anchor lands on an unsettled mind? Here is the truth of it. An anchor is a reference point, and your brain is wired to use reference points to make sense of value. When someone names a number first, your mind does not evaluate it in a vacuum. It measures everything else against it. That is the mechanism. Now layer emotion on top of that. When you feel anxious, the brain interprets the situation as a potential threat. Your focus narrows. You become less capable of abstract evaluation and more focused on immediate relief. An anchor in that state does not feel like information to be assessed. It feels like a position you need to respond to right now, under pressure. Your counteroffer ends up closer to their anchor than it ever should have been. The amygdala hijack plays a direct role here. When the brain's threat detection system fires, higher reasoning becomes less accessible. You are no longer evaluating the anchor. You are reacting to it. The anchor has not become more powerful in any objective sense. Your capacity to resist it has simply decreased. What surprises most people is that positive emotions carry the same risk. Excitement, relief, eagerness, these states create their own distortion. When you want something badly, or when the conversation feels like it is going well, you become reluctant to disrupt that feeling by pushing back hard. The anchor slits past your critical thinking not because you are threatened, but because you're trying to hold onto a good moment. The result is the same: you drift toward their number. The emotional conditions that make anchors stick. Three emotional states, in particular, consistently reduce your capacity to resist an anchor. It is worth naming them clearly so you can recognize them in real time. Anxiety about the outcome. This is the most common. When you need this deal, when you're worried about what happens if it falls through, the need becomes the lens through which you process everything the other person says. Their anchor feels less like an opening position and more like a verdict you either accept or fight against. The emotional weight of needing the outcome makes challenging the anchor feel risky in a way it simply should not. Impatience. Long negotiations, delayed decisions, and repeated back and forth wear people down. By the time a late stage anchor lands, the exhausted person accepts it just to end the tension. This is not a failure of nerve. It is a failure of preparation. The person who did not expect the negotiation to take this long runs out of emotional stamina. Understanding how small daily communication habits build your capacity for sustained composure matters enormously here. Resilience in a negotiation is built over time, not summoned on the day. Interpersonal pressure. Some anchors arrive wrapped in status, authority, or obvious confidence from the other side. When you respect or feel slightly intimidated by the person delivering the anchor, your evaluation of the anchor gets contaminated by your feelings about the person. You are now judging the reasonableness of the number partly through the lens of the relationship, and that lens distorts. Two scenarios where this plays out in plain sight. Consider a manager negotiating a project budget with a senior director. The director opens with a number that is significantly lower than what the manager needs. If the manager is anxious about being seen as difficult, or if they admire the director and want to maintain that relationship, the anchor hits with enormous force. They start negotiating from near the director's number rather than from a confident position of their own. By the end, they have accepted terms that leave the project underfunded. Now consider the same manager who prepared before walking in. They know the number they need. They have a clear rationale for it, and they have already decided what they will say if the opening offer is low. When the director names a low anchor, the manager feels the pull. They are human, but they have a prepared counter anchor ready. They respond clearly, calmly, and with reasons. The conversation resets. This is not about being aggressive. It is about having done the emotional and practical preparation work before the anchor ever landed. Knowing how to stay grounded during tense workplace conversations is what makes the difference in that moment. Why negotiators keep getting ambushed by their own emotions. The reason this mechanism goes unrecognized is that people tend to attribute their concessions to logic after the fact. They tell themselves they accepted those terms because the numbers were reasonable, because the timing was right, because the relationship mattered. They rarely recognize that they accepted those terms because they were anxious, tired, or eager, and the anchor caught them in that state. There is also a confidence gap that feeds the problem. A negotiator who's not fully confident in their own preparation is far more susceptible to an anchor than one who has done the work. Confidence is not a personality trait in this context. It is a product of preparation. The confidence-competence loop applies directly here. When you know your position, your rationale, and your limits before you walk in, you carry a kind of internal anchor of your own. That internal anchor is what prevents the external one from dominating. When feedback or a difficult counteroffer triggers a defensive reaction in you, the defensiveness is itself an emotional signal worth attending to. Learning to use a structured framework to stay calm when feedback triggers defensiveness is a transferable skill that applies with full force inside a negotiation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book They Write Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments. The ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Preparing your emotional ground before the anchor lands. The most important work in resisting an anchor happens before you enter the room. This much I know for certain after decades of watching negotiations unfold. Set your own anchor before they set theirs. Know your opening number, and know it with confidence. If you arrive with a clear, prepared position, their anchor has less room to reframe your thinking. You are not pulled toward their number because you are already oriented toward your own. Name the emotional states you are most likely to feel. Before a high-stakes conversation, be honest with yourself. Are you anxious about losing this deal? Are you excited because this is an opportunity you have wanted? Naming those feelings in advance reduces the chance that they ambush you mid-conversation. Awareness does not eliminate the emotion, but it gives you enough distance to notice it before it shapes your response. Slow your response time after an anchor lands. The emotional pull of an anchor is strongest in the immediate moment. A pause, a deliberate breath, the simple act of saying "let me think about that" creates the gap between stimulus and response where better thinking can happen. This is not hesitation. It is the confident choice to engage deliberately rather than reactively. Rehearse your counter anchor out loud. When a team's reactive patterns undermine conversations in real time, the same failure is happening at the individual level inside a negotiation. Practice saying your counter anchor before the day. The act of hearing yourself state your position builds the kind of grounded confidence that resists external anchors under pressure. If you are managing a situation where two parties are anchoring against each other and refusing to move, the deal method for diffusing entrenched tension offers a structured way through it. The practitioner's truth about emotions and anchoring. Every negotiator feels the pull of an anchor. That pull does not vanish with experience. What changes, after years of practice, is your relationship with the emotions that amplify it. The negotiator who knows how emotions influence anchors does not try to eliminate their feelings before entering a room. They prepare their position, name their emotional tendencies honestly, and build enough inner steadiness that when the first number lands, they respond to it rather than get captured by it. That is a skill you can develop. It takes practice, it takes honest self-appraisal, and it takes a willingness to prepare not just what you will say, but how you will feel when the conversation gets hard. The moment you understand that emotions influence anchors as much as any tactic, the whole dynamics of a negotiation begins to look different. Frequently asked questions. How do emotions influence anchors in negotiation? Emotions influence anchors by reducing your capacity to evaluate an opening number critically. When you feel threatened, anxious, or excited, your thinking becomes reactive rather than deliberate. You anchor to the first figure offered without applying the scrutiny a calm, prepared mind would bring. Why does emotional state affect how we respond to an anchor? An anchor works by setting a reference point your mind gravitates toward. When your emotional state is unsettled, that gravitational pull strengthens. You lose the mental distance needed to assess whether the anchor reflects reality, and your counteroffers stay closer to the opening number than they should. What is anchoring in negotiation? Anchoring in negotiation is the cognitive tendency to give disproportionate weight to the first number, offer, or condition introduced in a discussion. Every subsequent figure you consider is unconsciously measured against that opening anchor, which shapes the entire range of the conversation that follows. Can positive emotions make you more vulnerable to anchors? Yes, excitement, eagerness, or relief can be just as dangerous as anxiety when it comes to anchors. Positive emotions create a desire to preserve the good feeling, which makes you reluctant to challenge the anchor aggressively. You accept terms that a calmer version of yourself would question. How do you reduce the emotional pull of an anchor? Prepare your own anchor before the conversation begins. Know your target number, your walkaway point, and your opening position before you enter the room. When you arrive with a clear reference point of your own, the other side's anchor has far less room to take hold. What is the connection between the amygdala hijack and anchor susceptibility? When the brain perceives threat, the amygdala can overwhelm deliberate thinking with a fight-or-flight response. In that state, you cannot evaluate an anchor objectively. You react to it emotionally rather than responding to it strategically, making you significantly more likely to concede ground you did not need to give. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.